there, it's Julie for Dobbs. Since 1976, drivers have counted on us for bumper-to-bumper tire and auto service. And Dobbs now has more than 40 locations. One's probably close to you. Come see us today.
For deals you can use, click on gotodobbs.com now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time now for the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Yes, yes. Let's do this today, Jackson.
Why not? Why not us?
Let's do it. Exactly. Why not us? It's Balloon Party, 101 ESPN, 101 ESPN YouTube channel. I'm going to open up that YouTube channel. And I'm also going to open up the Air Comfort Service text line. And just because the Grape Ape Auto Detailing told me to make sure I don't ignore it, I'm going to read from both today. Let's interact today. Jackson has Thursday therapy. Is that what this is today?
Yeah, a little session.
I like this. Eric Nickens is in there. Dan Jansen's in there. Droid Effects is in there. Johnny Scores is in there. And they're getting ready for the tournament. They're getting ready for the Blues and the Senators. Pregame 5 p.m. right here on 101 ESPN. They're getting ready for Cardinal baseball. They're talking Valspar on the Gulf side. And they might have just caught Jackson do a little takeaway swing. I noticed that. What was it? You did a little takeaway. You were working on your takeaway?
I was trying to stretch the back out of the way.
Oh, so it was not a takeaway.
Well, it both, okay. You know, serves two purposes.
Okay.
Really trying to work on tempo.
All right. And then Katie Wu did an exclusive interview with John Mozeliak in The Athletic. So we'll read from that as well. All of these things are coming up. How are we going to fit this all in 1 hour? I don't know. But Jackson, you're wearing the C on your sweater today, brother. You take us wherever we need to go for Thursday therapy. Get involved. Air Comfort Service text line 314-399-9646. Get involved in the Balloon Party Mafia YouTube chat on YouTube. You can watch us. You can see how cute we are. I think we're cute. Jackson's wearing a Best Fans in Baseball hoodie. You are a Best Fan.
I am, yeah.
And I'm wearing a 101 ESPN hoodie. I would like to know, and I'm looking at Ryder as if he's the one who orders these things, but the material. You want to come over here and touch me, boy?
No, I have one, and it is the softest hoodie in the world.
You know, I had a security blanket up until age 32, and if the material were made out of this, I would still be carrying that security blanket around, and what a turn on that would be for my wife. Oh, if I went to bed with a security blanket.
Like you would, like, no matter where you were, you'd have a blanket.
Yeah, like Linus. You know, Linus.
Right, like Charlie Brown, right? So you'd always have a blanket. And just in case, like, you know, you got a little tuckered out during the day, you would drape it over yourself.
Yeah, I could take a little nipper. Where's Tim? He's lying down, playing in the World Series of Poker, napping.
You know, that sounds crazy, but like I could totally see like a pro athlete who's like super good, that who like you can't tell them anything, you know, because they're so good at their sport, being like, yeah, I carry this blanket around all the time.
If Yadier Molina were to show up as a bench coach for the Cardinals, I could see him lying down and everybody going, I'm not going to wake him up. You going to wake him up? No, let's just walk around him. That kind of deal.
Yeah, there's very few players who could do such a thing, but yeah, it's nice to have a security blanket. But you're right, that hoodie is
one of them.
Is butter soft.
Oh, we got to let the audience come in and touch me.
For a number of reasons.
I agree with you. Jackson, what's the first question on Thursday therapy?
I want to get into the Katie Wu conversation with John Mozeliak.
All right.
You know, right off the bat.
All right.
That's the meatiest.
You're going with that as the lead.
The meatiest topic today, as the Cardinals are 1 week away, Tim, from taking on the Dodgers in Los Angeles.
Dodgers were losing 11-8 in the top of the eighth last time I saw that Padres game over in Korea. So if you had the over, you have been paid off handsomely. There's no way that was above.
Wow.
What's the final? Is it still going?
No, it just finished, and the Padres win 15-11.
Wow, take the over. 15-11. And I would tell you there actually is news and notes from that game outside of the fact that 26 runs were scored, and Shohei Ohtani's got a situation with his interpreter.
Big time.
And that is that Yoshinobu Yamamoto made his first start, and he pitched an inning and gave up 5 earned runs.
Yeah, yep. Four hits, 5 earned runs, 1 walk, 2 Ks. But unfortunately, if you can't make it out of the first inning, Yeah. I guess he did. He finished the inning and then did not come back out for the second.
Oh, is that right? He didn't come out for the second.
He only has 1.0 innings pitched. So
no, well, you come out for the second and get hit around.
I guess you get shelled and then they just get pulled out.
Either way. So a week from today, Cardinals and Dodgers, they'll see Yamamoto. The Cardinals actually could probably cause some concern if they were to hit him hard after today. And it'll be four games as to whether or not Sonny Gray will be out there. John Mozeliak discusses that in this conversation. It's on The Athletic. She's regular on BK and Ferrario, so maybe she'll be on there today. I don't know yet. Jackson, what's your question, though?
What stood out to you from the conversation with the president of baseball operations? A lot was talked about, a lot of injury talk, whether Sonny Gray is going to start on the IL or possibly be on the opening day roster. Who knows? But Mozeliak answered it all.
I think the thing that stood out to me most was Katie asked him how difficult last year was. So last year was the first time this organization had truly lost in your tenure. What was that like? And he said this: frustrating, disappointing. I think I speak for everybody. It certainly wasn't how we planned it. But when you peel back the onion and look at what really went wrong, you realize it was sort of a collection of everything. And when you see something like that, you can't say it's random and it's going to happen from time to time. And if it happens once every 15 years, I think that'd be pretty good. With what we were able to accomplish this offseason, hopefully the vibe of this group is different than it was a year ago. And I think when you look at the overall roster with this veteran presence versus last year, when we went with a much more younger approach, we can strike that balance that gets us back to winning. And so that quote stands out to me, and here's my reason, because I really liked the first part of it, because I thought it was kind of a humble acknowledgement of failure that he is in part taking responsibility for. I just, for the life of me, don't understand how we're talking about the 2023-2024 Cardinal offseason as if it were an accomplishment. I think probably like in their boardroom it was, because they were able to get innings fillers and a guy who could be an ace, although, you know, we'll see how that hamstring holds up over the course of a season, in Sonny Gray, and you didn't have to give out long-term deals. So I get that, but I don't think the fan base goes, oh, good, the pitching problem is solved. And people around baseball don't think the pitching problem was solved. So I don't understand the celebration of the offseason. I think inside their offices, they did what they wanted slash needed to do, considering the uncertainty with the television deal. But as far as like it being this big win, I just don't see it that way. And I don't think too many people do. I just don't understand that. And then this thing about the veteran presence. I mean, the Cardinals lost one of the most prominent veterans the organization has had in my lifetime of being a Cardinal fan, which spans four decades, and Adam Wainwright. And so right there, you're operating from a significant deficit if you're just building out a P&L of veteran presence.
Yeah.
And so where has that has that been replaced by having two guys who are on their way out of baseball and Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson? And then Sonny Gray and Matt Carpenter? I don't know. I mean, I just don't see it the way he sees it, but you know, I'm not like angry at him for seeing it that way. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I would say that getting the veteran presence, you know, might be helpful for the young, because if the Cardinals are going to be good this year, it's going to take both veterans, especially in the pitching staff, and then the veterans influencing the younger guys.
I understand, but when we're talking about 2023, Adam Wainwright was a part of that.
Right. No,
so he's not there anymore. And so the guys who have replaced him, I think everybody would agree, none of them would match Adam Wainwright's presence. For example, when Wilson Contreras had whatever bizarro world thing happened to him where he became an outfielder overnight and then never played the outfield and then was back to catching a couple weeks later, Wainwright was talking with him. When Jack Flaherty was having his issues, Wainwright was talking to him. That's a major presence. Also, I don't think it's really surprising that guys would vouch for him as being one of the most first-class teammates they've had. So you've lost that. That's a material loss. And I don't think anybody would say one Sonny Gray or one Kyle Gibson or one Lance Lynn or one Matt Carpenter can replace that. Now, maybe if you're going to say four of those guys replaces, okay, fine. But my point being, when you look back on 2023, it wasn't like this was like the 2001 Oakland A's with a bunch of young guys, you know, getting lit up in the Bay Area. This is a different deal. I don't know. Here's what I'm telling you. Spin, spin, sugar.
Yeah, like that.
Spin, spin, sugar, 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 sugar. Are you rolling balls? Spin, spin, sugar.
I can't feel my face.
Grinding my teeth.
Kind of, yeah.
My spinal cord.
Where I was going with that is, like, the veteran fusion, or the increase
in veterans. You signed older guys who are not going to be playing in 2 years. That's what you did.
Right.
With the exception of one.
Yeah.
But you lost a prominent, you know, perhaps the biggest, like, Yachty, I think, was the most intense competitor, more so than Wainwright. But as far as veteran leadership goes, Adam Wainwright's not there, but he was there. I feel like we're, like, passing off a narrative similar to at the winter warm-up. How excited are you about Yachty or Molina being around this year? You know, that was one of the marketing things. And I'm going, I don't really think he's going to be around. And unless he shows up here for the last 5 days, he isn't going to be around. He didn't show up in Jupiter one time. And I think it just throws another log on the fire of the fan base getting irritated by kind of getting BS'd. And that's what I feel like this is. So I don't know. The answer was great in the first half, and then it like went spinny in the second half. Watch this. Spin, spin, sugar. Sugar, 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 sugar.
My feet just won't stop moving.
Right. Yeah. I'm grinding on everybody. Spring break.
Yeah, all of that stuff that's all footnotes. You know, it's not necessarily like, what did you do great in the offseason? And that's your second line is all these veterans. That's a footnote. It should be like a thing you mentioned at the end. It's like, and, you know, we had some veterans. Not, well, we fixed the pitching issue and added veterans. It's like, well, 0-2, in my opinion.
I have had no interaction with Kyle Gibson. I don't know. He might be a wonderful leader. I have no idea. I could certainly see Matt Carpenter filling that role.
Descalzo, adding him to the coaching staff.
But Lance Lynn doesn't strike me as, like, you know, I mean, and by the way, I couldn't be more amused by somebody than Lance Lynn.
Right, agreed.
But I don't necessarily think that he's, you know, leadership guy.
Yeah.
You know, just because you're old doesn't mean, old by baseball years, doesn't mean that you're a leader.
Yeah, you might have wisdom, but there's a difference between having wisdom and being able to share the wisdom.
And you already had two guys who may be on their way to Cooperstown, and Goldschmidt and Arenado, who are in their mid-30s on the team. I just don't understand it. I just don't understand why you had Adam Wainwright, Paul Goldschmidt, and Nolan Arenado. I don't think anybody's going, yeah, that was a youth movement. I don't know.
But that's kind of what Arenado said in the offseason.
Like Magatu here with the crazy pills.
Yeah, but Arenado was quoted saying in the season, it's like the younger guys were taking over the locker
room. I
know, I
just don't understand it. Like, who were these young guys and why were they chirping? who were they? For
Jordan,
real.
Jordan Walker and Gorman just holding everyone around. Like, based on their personality show in the media, it would be surprising to me if Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker were walking around, like, running the locker room.
And Mason Wynn wasn't on the team.
Right.
I mean,
Lars.
Flaherty, he's not necessarily a young guy. He's not there anymore. Montgomery's in his 30s. I just don't know what this is. It's such a strange line to take. But again, you know, Matt Carpenter extension, Ali Marmol extension, and now there were no veterans there and all the young guys that were there. I'm just like, what are we talking about? Was I watching a different team last year? Was I in a parallel universe? And
you
now all of a sudden I've been replaced?
Spin, spin, sugar.
Right. I don't know what's going on. I just don't get it. I don't understand. I'm not saying that to be like a take guy.
Right.
This is honestly how I feel. I just don't understand where this stuff's coming from. If you have Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, and Adam Wainwright on a team, and I would also add Contreras in there. Yep. I know it was his first year, but he'd been around for a while and won a world championship. And I feel like I'm probably leaving somebody else out who would be more of a veteran. I just don't understand this youth thing that apparently was the problem last year. You had a bad rotation, whether they be young or old. Kind of start and stop there.
It's kind of cut and dry in that sense.
And so I just don't get it. I don't know, but maybe they'll win 110 games and we'll replay this. And
boy, I hope so, Tim. I want a good baseball season.
Thank you. 10:18 in St. Louis. We got more Thursday therapy coming from Jackson, who is focused on Michigan State and Mississippi State getting underway in about an hour, and then Illinois at Moorhead State.
Oh, my God. The best day of the year, man. That's
because the Valspar first round.
Yeah, well, not Copperhead notwithstanding.
Right, Snake Pit.
Right. The right when we get done with the show, in 10 minutes, there'll be tip off. And then until the wee hours of the night, we'll have basketball.
Will you be watching tournament all day?
For the most part.
Flip over for the Blues and Sens?
No, but I'll have it on my laptop here, go home, watch it. More Friday. Ah, it's so good.
God bless America.
It's my security blanket.
This is when I get into a place, even though the weather has been really wonderful for the most part in all of 2024 relative to previous St. Louis winters. But now you got the tournament.
Mm.
Major League Baseball is already underway. And you've got the Masters in 3 weeks. Cardinals, home opener in 2 weeks. Cardinals and Dodgers in a week. Maybe the Blues can make a playoff run. This is the time of year where my synapses start firing. I'm just snorting dopamine somehow. I've got it. I can snort it. Yeah, I got it. And it puts me in a good place. And that's why this Thursday therapy, maybe it's more my therapy for you.
No, it'd be great. 162 days till college football as well.
College football puts me in a dark place as much as I love it.
Yeah.
Because then I start thinking about the cold.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Even though it doesn't really get cold for first couple months of the season.
Yeah. Different, though. Different.
All right. Jackson, it's Thursday therapy. It's Balloon Party, 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. Balloon Party, 101 ESPN, Tim McKernan, Jackson Burkett with you. It's a one-hour program. It's brought to you by Munganess, St. Louis Acura, and Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton, Toyota. And we ask you to get involved. Air Comfort Service, text line 314-399-9646. And also the YouTube channel for 101 ESPN, where plenty of people are interacting, including Frick James talking. Is it Adam Well or Adam Welly?
Let's go with Well.
And then Deep Voice Dude.
All the greats.
Jackson, what is your second question on Thursday therapy?
I have to say the Shohei Ohtani story is pretty fascinating to me. I feel like our friend Gabe DeArmond when I say it's quite obvious that someone is being lied to.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of the situation? Do you think we could see some sort of penalty coming for Ohtani by the hands of Major League Baseball?
Well, I don't... What did he do wrong?
Well, his accounts paid the illegal gambling...
Right, but the way that it's being framed now, maybe there's something new since my reading of, I think it was Jeff Passan's story yesterday, that the money was stolen.
Right, but therein lies where I feel like somebody is being lied to in the sense that, and I'm not making any allegations here, but the original was that his interpreter, Ohtani's interpreter, did a 90-minute interview with ESPN talking about this.
Right.
And
saying that he got into sports gambling trouble.
Yes. And that.
And didn't realize it was illegal because it is legal to bet in 40 of 50 states.
Right.
We here in Missouri,
yeah,
fortunately being protected.
That's right. I feel so safe.
But they were in California, and then $4.5 million was wired from Ohtani's account to a bookie.
Correct. And then
I got to tell you, if I Venmo my guy or something, it feels like a loss. Venmo caps it at $2,900. So if it got to a spot where my Venmo had $4.5 million going out the door, I'd be like, yeah.
And it's not that
maybe I shouldn't have been as high on Sam Burns this weekend as my guy was, but, yeah, that's my read. So what are you trying to say here?
So
you're saying Ohtani was the one betting?
No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that he did the sit down interview and the interpreter did an interview with ESPN detailing his issues with sports gambling and how Ohtani helped him out. And Ohtani's people set up this interview. And then they also then said, pulled the interview, canceled it. They did the interview, pulled it, don't want it out there. And then are claiming that the money was stolen.
Okay.
This was massive theft when it was originally portrayed as Ohtani helped him out, helped out his interpreter.
Okay, I follow you there. So I suppose my read on it and all of this is we didn't know anything about it 24 hours ago, and Ohtani just got done playing a game in Korea, so who knows what the hell's going on with this. But my read on it was Ohtani didn't realize how much money went out the door, and then when they became aware it was $4.5 million, that is when they go, okay, this thing got out of control.
That very well could be the case.
But
yeah.
What is your read?
My read on it is that they realized that, oh crap, we sent $4.5 million to a bookie, and that could be a real issue with Major League Baseball for a legal gambling site, or even a legal gambling site. That would probably be a problem with Major League Baseball. And they're like, oh, we have to reframe this as it was stolen. That's how I personally interpret it, because I don't know why.
If that's the case, then this interpreter is going to have a lot of money coming his way. for defamation.
Right, right. That could be the case. It just is so shocking to me that they would set up this interview so that he could talk about this and, you know, essentially kind of make Ohtani look good, like he helped out his
right.
friend.
But if Ohtani covered like $100,000, which is still a lot of money,
right.
but I think Ohtani probably made that in the top half of the first inning this morning.
Right.
Okay, that's one thing. But then if they became aware that it was $4.5 million. But listen, I mean, I'm piecing things together just like you are.
Right.
And I imagine anybody who's familiar with the story is.
Yeah. Ohtani just strikes me as a pretty smart guy based on how he negotiated this contract extension or the contract he has with the Dodgers. And it would surprise me if like he had no idea of how much money he was sending over.
I'm not saying Ohtani's smart. I'm not saying he's not smart. I'm just saying he had a wonderful agent and that's who's handling the negotiations.
Could be.
Is.
Yeah. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
So I just don't know if I, you know, on how he negotiated his deal is a reflection of his aptitude. Of course, he could be very smart.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But specific to this situation, what the big thing is, and he also had this with PJ Bickerstaff, who's the head coach of the Cavaliers, talking about how gambling, you know, it got to a point where a gambler got his number, was threatening his children. I don't know if you saw this interview. This isn't an NBA thing. It's a gambling conversation and how people say, okay, well, it's more accessible. So now it's going to become more problematic. It's been accessible since I was born.
Right.
You know, it's just more public now.
Right.
But with it being more public, more people, may be comfortable talking about it. Whereas before it was something that was, for whatever reason, taboo. I view it through the lens of, it's math. I find math intriguing. In other words, the Blues, like Money Puck isn't a bet, but the Blues, when we thought they were going to be in the playoffs, being like 3.9% to be in the playoffs, which is essentially a 30-1 play approximately. That's what I am intrigued by. I consider and give numbers. And I think that does come off as like a, although for whatever reason this morning, as I was telling you, I think before the show, that I just went crazy and bet on the Valspar this weekend like a nut. I don't know what happened. But I really don't really bet much. But because I talk about the odds, I think there is, oh, he's got a gambling problem. And, you know, people are welcome to think it. I don't really care. I'll turn over my financials.
Yeah.
We'll do that. We'll do that
balance
next week.
Sheets, yeah.
Do that. Yeah, I'll have a balance sheet contest. But the Ohtani thing. So what would be the penalty for him if he...
I guess one could say that if his accounts are sending money to an illegal bookie, that he could be hit with whatever the penalty is for a player gambling. In a way, I'm just thinking through the worst case scenario for Ohtani. Like, that could be what comes down.
I mean, if he was, then I suppose then that's a conversation. But if he was covering for his guy...
Right. I don't know how MLB will view this. This is also their darling. He is essentially the face of baseball. Do they want to bring it down? But I don't know if it'd be different if he had wired $4.5 million to his interpreter and then he sent it to the bookie. But I believe that Ohtani didn't want to do that because he didn't want him sending $4.5 million for him to gamble again. Because if you go down the whole $4.5 million, you know,
if I'm not mistaken, Joe Pesci had a situation like that in Casino and he loaned a guy money and then he took the money and then he bet again.
Yeah. Aces high.
Yeah, Sam, Aethes Rothstein to you. All right, we'll take a break, come back with the second half of Balloon Party. This is 101 ESPN.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back, Balloon Party 101 ESPN. Tim McKernan, Jackson Burkett with you on the program. Get involved on said show. Air Comfort Service text line 314-399-9646. Studio camera sponsored by the Air Alliance team. And we are on YouTube, the 101 ESPN channel. And Jackson, 103 people are in there talking it over, including Deep Voice Dude and TPS Reports.
Hello, friends.
Question 3 of Thursday there. I don't mind. I enjoyed it, though.
Thank you. Blues strap on their steel slippers once again tonight as they take on the Senators. We talked yesterday, and this interested me, Tim, the JR article that will be coming soon about whether the Blues making the playoffs is really the best thing for the franchise. And I kind of wanted your opinion on that, like looking at it from all angles. Like, do you think getting the young guys' experience in the Stanley Cup playoffs, the possibility of making a run, I mean, you never know, it's the NHL playoffs, would behoove the Blues, or do you think, you know, maybe having a good offseason would be, you know.
Well, having a good offseason, but I think the question is, would it be better to have like a top 10 draft?
Right.
Like it just fell off. Tonight, to me, is kind of a fork in the road game. They should win it. If they don't win it, it would be, it's already going to be tough to get in, but it would be really tough to get in. For the record, last night, the Blues opposition coming up on Saturday, and that is a game you can catch here. Pregame at 12 p.m., Jackson, as they take on the Minnesota Wild. Their opposition, matinee tilt, took on the Kings last night, and sweet mother of mercy, they were on the receiving end of a drubbing. They lost 6-0 to the Kings. So the Blues remain a point back with a game in hand on Minnesota as they take on a bad Ottawa team this evening. For the record, the Senators are they're not mathematically eliminated, but they are getting close to it. The Minnesota Wild, now a point up on the Blues, and the Kings now are 8 points up on the Blues. The team the Blues are pursuing, the Golden Knights, their opposition on Monday in St. Louis, 4 points up on them, but Vegas has a game in hand, and the Predators are 9 points up on the Blues, and they're not going to catch Dallas, most likely. So one of the wild card spots is already spoken for. The reason I lay all of that out, as convoluted as it may have seemed, even though I think my delivery was flawless.
Would agree.
Thank you. Is that you have the Vegas Golden Knights, the Wild, and the Blues all fighting for one spot. And that already is going to be tough because you're trailing a team in Vegas by 4 points, plus they have a game in hand. Now, taking that math, which is important to the conversation, out of the discussion on your question, in talking to guys who actually played, and we had Kelly Chase and Barrett Jackman in studio on TMA on Monday, and I made reference to this yesterday, they aren't necessarily going, yeah, if they can get in, this is a team that could, you know, pull off an LA Kings-like run as an 8 seed, or the Oilers did it with Pronger in 2006, if I'm not mistaken, it was 2006, and got to a cup final. I mean, I suppose anything is possible. But more about getting guys experience in the playoffs. But what Rutherford's counter to that is, by the time the Blues are really contenders, how many of these guys will be still with the team? And as weird as that is to say, I'm not sure. I mean, you'd like to think Jake Neighbors is kind of an obvious one. Bull Duke, I suppose. But beyond that, for the most part, the defensemen that wouldn't necessarily fall into that category with the veteran defenseman the Blues have. And you know, you don't know what the future holds for Buchnevich. You don't know what the future holds as far as with the organization goes with Kyrou. And so how much would they really stand to gain if the alternative would be getting a high draft pick? So, of course, they're playing to win. So let's make that clear. This isn't like, maybe they should tank. It's just in a big picture standpoint, how much does that really help? The guys who played the game saying getting that experience is huge. One of the things I can recall, and you heard about this with the Red Wings in particular before they went on their run, but they would lose in the playoffs, is that, you know, you need to lose in the playoffs before you can actually win in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But, you know, how much truth is there to that? You know, I don't know. I just know that when it gets down to it, I think both from a financial situation for the organization to have that playoff revenue, even if it's only 2 games, and then also from a momentum standpoint for the franchise and then for the experience standpoint for some of the young players to get in there, I'd like to see it.
Yeah, that to me, that makes the most sense. Now, what I took most from what you just said right there, Tim, is I was unawares, that the term is drubbing. I forever thought it was drumming.
I think both can be used.
Okay.
Let me look it up.
Because I was always
I don't have time for this.
Like beat like a drum, like you drummed them.
Drubbing, definition, a beating, a thrashing.
George Glass.
Glass, George Glass, drumming may refer to the act of playing the drums or other percussion instruments. Watch this. Take a listen.
Okay.
T-peary-t. Drumming. Drubbing Blues Canucks 2009.
Got it. Okay.
The Blues did some drubbing after the hand pass.
Yeah.
And the cocky Carlson, Thornton, and Burns post game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't think we're playing handball. We're playing hockey, eh? and then just got skull pounded over the next three games. Those boys did. That would be a drubbing. Drumming, watch this.
T-T-T. Yeah, what about fans in the stands?
Clapping their hands. Yep.
It's really good.
No, it's great, actually.
We should get into like a music segment.
Yeah, like a barbershop quartet.
Yeah, duo.
But, see if Rivers wants to get back on your side and join us for that.
That'd be great, yeah. Man, I'm trying to dream team barbershop quartet at 101 ESPN. I feel like that Marsh probably has a good set of pipes on him. BK, he seems like an old-timey singer.
An old-timey singer.
Yeah. I don't know. But you learn something new every day. I've been saying my whole life drumming.
Well, I'm not saying drubbing. That you're necessarily wrong, but I'm just saying that there is a word, drubbing.
Yeah. Like for the longest time, I thought it was case and point, but it's case in point.
That's correct.
Yeah. You learn these things.
I couldn't care less, or I could care less. Well, if you could, then...
Yeah, then you would. Couldn't. But people know what you're saying. But I that does sometimes bother
but
me.
But regardless.
That's not a word, right?
Yeah.
It is?
No.
Okay, so that's irregardless.
But what you're doing right now is you're talking down to the common man and is a representative for the common man and somebody who doesn't really like multiple syllables. I would ask you to stop it because I'm a meat and potatoes guy from South St. Louis, Tam Avenue, matter of fact. I don't know if you knew that.
I'm now aware. But you're framing that like I'm somehow the elite when I was the one who had it wrong and you were the one schooling us with all these origins.
All I did was simply type in drubbing in and I don't even use Google because I don't trust it.
Independent search engines.
So I'm on my Yahoo search engine, and that's how I got MSN. The definition. Absolutely. I do have a Hotmail account, for the record. All right, we'll break. Final segment of Balloon Party coming up. This is 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. This is Balloon Party, 101 ESPN. It's driven by Munganess, St. Louis Acura, Munganess Burkhardt, Alton Toyota. My name is Tim McKernan, and that is Jackson Burkett, and Jackson is hiding from me, and I have no idea what's going on now. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it. You know I'm not making it up. Why'd you all of a sudden, like, go below the council?
I was given a directive, and I'm trying to do that, run the board, and, you know, be just a lovely little co-host, and I find...
I like that. Lovely little co-host.
You know, I only have the two hands, Michael.
Piddles just blew my freaking mind with that case and point bomb he just dropped. That's from the 314. Friend of the show, Janet, says, it's I couldn't care less.
Nice. Got it. Appreciate it, Janet.
And then in the Balloon Party chat, Eric Nickens is in there talking it over with TPS reports and droid effects, and they're talking Happy Gilmore.
I like that movie.
Good or bad?
Good. Yeah. Okay. Happy Gilmore is great. R.I.P. Carl Weathers.
Yeah. I was a big fan of that Carl Weathers.
Oh, he's great, man. Yeah, he's so great. Apollo Creed. That's a real loss. It was great.
That was a nice tribute on your part. Jackson, you have another question for this Little Piddles Thursday therapy.
I do, yeah. This is like bordering on Orlovsky, but I feel like it actually might have some basis.
I assume it's a Cardinal take.
It is.
Okay, good.
Is this the most pivotal Cardinal season in your lifetime?
Welcome to Get Up with Mike Greenberg.
I told you it was going to be Lowell Orlovsky, but I think there is some backing to it. From the perspective of there's many different ways the season could go, could you see a way in which the young guys shine and turn a page to a new era of Cardinal baseball? And on the flip side, could the pitching just blow up and the offense get stale and torpedo the franchise for 2024 and possible years to come?
Oh, it's exhausting because it's two different questions that have two totally different lines of thought. It's exhausting.
That's why I put it on your plate, because you're the one who can connect it. You can unify these takes.
Is it the most pivotal Cardinal season, what, in the history of the game?
Was no, that
the
in question? Your lifetime. In your lifetime.
Okay. I would say yes, but then these guys keep saying things that don't make sense, and it doesn't matter. So it's kind of like, I don't want to draw a parallel to outside of the sports world, but sometimes I feel like people say things that aren't true, and then it doesn't matter. And I'm starting to feel like I'm living in that, my Cardinal fandom. Because I'm going, you know, I'm reading the thing from earlier with John Mozeliak talking to Katie Wu, and you would think it was a bunch of 20-year-olds in the clubhouse last year. And then if you hear it enough, you go, yeah, that's true. And then you look at the roster and you go, they had one of the older rosters in Major League Baseball last year. What are we talking about? And it just kind of goes unchecked.
Right.
And so along those lines, it doesn't seem like it matters. And then the second question was about, is it possible the pitching blows up? I mean, it seemed like it just like we were driving down Manchester and then you just like hard left into the DePere McDonald's.
Well, I'm just trying to play out the hand.
Which, by the way, is where we hung out in high school, which just shows I was obviously a ladies' man.
Where is this?
The DePere McDonald's. Where are you going to go?
Yeah, right by 270?
Yeah.
It's a real busy thoroughfare right there to be just hanging out by.
What in the world was I doing?
That's fair.
Did you say Lilith Fair?
Fair. I didn't know where to go.
So you dropped a Lilith Fair with Sarah McLachlan and the Indigo Girls? What a strange...
Sarah McLachlan has a really great song in Toy Story 2, and it's a real tearjerker.
Why don't you sing a few bars?
I don't know if I can sing it.
But you sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game out of nowhere?
Off rhythm. That was brutal. God, I don't want to look back at that. That was a bad time. That was bad, Jack.
Ryder, send me that audio.
The audio is fine.
All right, so we're in the DePere McDonald's parking lot. We're hoping the Villa Girls will talk to a South City busboy from Pietro's, but deep down we know it's not going to happen. What's your question?
Pretty far from South City.
I know. It was big.
Yeah, Central Quarter. Or I guess West County balling.
Right.
Well, you can look at the season in multiple different ways. Like, you play out the hand. Like, best case scenario, the pitching is fine, good enough, but if they're going to be really, really good, like really good, not just win the Central good, but be competitive and contender good, the young guys are going to have to really shine. And if that is the case, then
what young guys on the pitching staff?
Not young guys on the pitching staff.
Okay, but your question was about the pitching staff. That's how we got to the DePere McDonald's parking lot. Because it just came out of nowhere.
I'm trying to have you unify the takes, and now you're throwing this DePere thing in there.
Well, I mean, it's your question.
Well, that's another reflection on me. But again, Lilith Fair. All right. That's what I'll say if I don't know what to say. The younger position players could be what turns a new era.
I agree with that.
Right.
But what does that have to do with the pitching you brought up?
Because if the pitching blows up, like one might think it could.
I would agree with that.
It could really torpedo not only the 2024 season.
So you're saying then the young players in the offense are going to have to carry the team because the pitching has a low ceiling. Is that what you're saying?
It also
has a potentially low floor.
Yeah, no doubt. It could be what turns the page. Like this season, why I think it's pivotal is not only do you have the TV money thing, which hangs over the head of this season, next season, and for years to come, but if you have a young core that shines and could turn the page on it, it could totally flip the trajectory of the franchise, as opposed to if the pitching tanks and they have another clunker year and they have to, and the young pitching by the means of like prospect pitching can't step up. We're in a real spot here, especially with the TV money situation.
Okay.
What could rectify the TV money situation of the younger position player stepping up?
To give you potential surplus for acquisitions for pitching that could help you through what appears to be a gap starting pitching-wise. All right, I follow it.
For a number of
reasons, wordy. Very, very wordy. I guess I'm going to have to eat up some of BK and Ferrario's time in order to answer this. But now that you lay it out that way, so concisely, that I follow what you're saying, that you might need to outslug teams in order to win, and I do think that is a real good possibility. For example, of the like 15 teams who have decided they want to play this year, you can probably name at least two who you go, yeah, they could get in the Cy Young mix.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying they will, of course, because that's impossible, but they could. It would be a real big surprise if the Cardinals had two pitchers in the Cy Young mix.
Yeah.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, it almost has to be Gray and Michaelis. It would be a miracle for it to be Lynn Gibson or Matz.
Right.
But then if you look at, take your pick of whichever team that you consider to be a contender this year, you'll be hard pressed to find one where you go, yeah, they got one guy and then they got four other innings eaters.
Right.
So that is why I would define the Cardinal rotation as low ceiling, also low floor. That is really super rare for a team that is expected to either finish in first or second of their division. Granted, albeit with a projection of 84.5 wins, which of course is more a commentary on the division. So with that all established, then yeah, I would say that they have to outslug. But, you know, one of the things Mozeliak brought up in his interview with Katie Wu on The Athletic, it's something that I think we looked at yesterday, the Cardinals' schedule through 2004. And he actually brought that up because she asked about his concern for a slow start. And the thing about the 2004 Cardinals that in a way is a bit of revisionist history is the rotation wasn't that great. You asked me who the rotation was yesterday. Carpenter, Woody Williams, Matt Morris, Jeff Suppan, Jason Marquis. All of them were solid.
Yeah.
Carpenter was really good, but he got hurt, so he wasn't available in the postseason. But that team won because that lineup, really, almost every day, 1 through 9, or 1 through 8, and then in the World Series, 1 through 9, they could get you. So the Cardinal lineup definitely has that potential. I don't know where you would say there's a spot in the lineup where you go, oh, that's going to
be
a
dead spot.
Yeah.
Right.
For real. That part is exciting. At the same time, with almost every one of those players, there's a wide delta.
Certainly.
Because if you go a Goldschmidt and Arenado or a blue chip, you also have to acknowledge that there was a decline last year. It could be a one-off. It could be the beginning of the end. Don't know. And then you're still relying on some younger players to either find it or to get it back. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about somebody like Wynn and Walker, you're talking about two guys who haven't necessarily done it at the level of the expectations. Walker was good last year, but he certainly didn't live up to what he was doing in the first 3 weeks in Jupiter. And Contreras, offensively, you would think that that would be there. So across the board, offensively, it can be there, and it can make up for a rotation that may not necessarily have shut down stuff, minus Sonny Gray. So with that established, I follow your premise that the Cardinals may have to be an offensive team this year in order to win, because the rotation isn't necessarily going to be a shutdown rotation.
Right, right. And that's kind of where I was going. It was like, it's pivotal because you could go, I mean, it could be a really...
So you're saying if they don't have the offense, right, and you know the pitching is going to be,
yeah,
at best, you know, I mean, at best, I don't know, like 7 to 10 ranking?
Yeah, that would be
in Major League Baseball,
great if right? they were in the top 10.
Then the offense is going to have to rake.
Absolutely. And I think more so, it'd be great, obviously, to have Arenado and Goldschmidt raking. That'd be lovely. But if you're really trying to turn the page to a new era, baseball,
give me Gorman, Wynn, and Walker.
100%. 100%. And Victor Scott, too. But let's get some Victor Scott. Let's get him in there.
Man, he went 0-for-4 yesterday, my Victor Scott train.
You know
who's hitting .409 this spring, Jackson?
Marp.
Matt Carpenter.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen.
I wonder if he's out there on the waiver wire for our fantasy baseball league. I might go pick him up, and everybody's going to go, look at this guy.
Yeah, I have a feeling he'll be a lot of pinch hitting scenarios, being a lefty like that.
Not if he's going to challenge Ted Williams, Mark.
That's true. Yeah. Matty ball game.
Time for us to go. BK and Ferrario are up next. You'll have to wait 23 hours for more long-winded questions that, honestly, I don't know if there was a destination on that road.
Not one that you'd want to visit.
It was at a pair of McDonald's. That's where it was.
Yeah, get a burger.
Yeah. BK and Ferrario are coming up next. For Jackson Burkett, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been Balloon Party, driven by Munganess, St. Louis Acura, and Munganess, Burkhardt, Alton, Toyota on 101 ESPN and the 101 ESPN YouTube channel.
You've been listening to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.